When Carl asked me to speak about Matthew 5 to 7, we need 5 years at least to cover it. That's why I decided to go to those readings, because I decided to make a sandwich. In the beginning of what the service said, what the Sermon on the Mountain said, and what the end of it. But we have a good sandwich there. That's why I take the top part of it and the end part of it, and I will leave the rest for you, which is a good homework. No, teasing, yes. I believe in all my heart that God wants to say something to us as a church. If it's not as a church, at least for me. What is it? When he said, Carl said to me, he said, oh, Matthew 5. I said, ooh, Matthew 5, mountain. Ooh, again. And I said, another mountain? Means there is something about mountain, Lord. You want to talk and take it with me. And I said, okay, mountain, again, back again to Moses. This is what we talked about a few times ago. And again, another mountain before and another presence of God before. And said, what is going on here? But I felt so strong. It's a message for us. It's not by coincidence that, again, talking mountain. Is a message for us to know and to confirm and to speak to us again and again and again and again to the importance of being in his presence. And if you didn't get it, he wants us to get it. If you didn't understand it the first time, and that's me, I'm not talking about you, I want you to get it again. And if you didn't understand it again, I will talk to you again until you really get it. And the point is understanding what that means. And I start asking the Lord, what is it? Isaiah 9 is reflecting a great picture of the end of Matthew 24, verse 25 and 26, or 24 and 25, I think. And what he's saying is, these people in the area of Galilee, they are in darkness. This is what Isaiah said. The same exactly situation. Everybody in this area, when heard about Jesus, they bring all the people are ill and under spirit and this and this and this and the whole thing. They come on the same idea. They are living in darkness. All these guys... Exactly the same picture Isaiah said and share, it's exactly what is happening with the time of Jesus is. What is going on? Why they are in darkness? They have the law of Moses. They have the temple. They go and give sacrifice. They do everything, but still they are living in darkness. Start thinking back. Why? And something came to me in Exodus 19. When God told Moses, I want you to bring the people of Israel, concentrate them, make them pure, basically, and holy, because I want to meet with them. And what happened is, okay, 3 days, I want you to be pure, clean, wash your clothes, do whatever. I want to meet with you. When he meet with them, they were trembled of fear. And their answer to Moses is, no, you go and talk to him and come and talk to us after. Go and have a chat with him. He will tell you exactly what you want us to do. And we are very, very happy to tell you to do whatever he told you to do. And the problem is, God's attention and full attention to have a relationship with every individual. Not through somebody else. But our all attention is, no. What about if you talk to Ron and Ron come and talk to me? What about if you talk to Carl and Carl come and talk to me? Because I'm not interested on that business of talking one-to-one. It's very scary. I cannot be there. I cannot be in your presence. It's so much overwhelming. I cannot hear God's voice. I cannot do anything because I have that fear of his presence to enter in. Right. Someone, friend of mine, we were doing a course in somewhere in North Africa. Where is it? Gone. Yeah. And he described something really interesting. He said, we're talking about the word of God. He said, I have a chewing gum. And I eat it. Nice, lovely, minty, refreshing. Very, very lovely. After a while, Douglas, would you like to eat this? This is exactly what we do. Would you like to have another showing lamb like that? Or would you like to have a fresh one? There's a point. Point is, do I need to have a fresh word from the Lord in his presence? Or do I need to have a chew one? I'm not saying that to hear from Carl or somebody preaching is the wrong thing. Or somebody have a word from the Lord to tell you what I feel that the Lord won't encourage you of 1, 2, 3 is a wrong thing. No, don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is how fresh you want the word of God in your life. How do you want it to look like? Do you want to keep it second hand? It has been eaten before and you decide to eat it again after someone else? How it works for you? This is what the people of Israel did in the time of Moses. No, you go and hear him. And come and talk to us. And when the commandment came, it became what Moses said. Every time they came to Jesus, the Pharisees, Moses told us to do this. What do you think? They didn't refer it to be the commandment of God. They didn't discover that this is what God said. It become a religion. It didn't become a conversation. It didn't become life to them. It become a religion, law. This is what Paul described it in Romans 8. It's the law of sin. It become, because it's cutting between good and bad. Rules, regulation. This is what you should do. You didn't understand his life. And here is the point. The point is, because the word come into the mountain in Moses, and Moses came down to speak to us, it's become law. But what happened in Matthew 5 is the total opposite. When Jesus saw the crowd, he took them up to the mountain with him to where the presence of God is. And the invitation for you today, do you want somebody to bring the law and the regulation to you down, or you are willing to go up to the mountain with him to receive it? Are we getting this bit? Yes? Yeah. Okay. Therefore, the point is today is if I consider being in his presence, I need to know that I need to get up of my seat and climb that mountain. I need to get up from a situation I'm in and climb this mountain. Right. What happened when you are climbing this mountain? This is what will happen. And this is what Isaiah 9:4 spoke about. He said that the yoke you are carrying, it will be broken. You cannot climb the mountain with tons of stuff in your shoulder. The yoke will be broken if you decide to come up to this mountain. The yoke will be broken, and it will be happening in one thing. If you decide in your heart that I miss and I am fed up of receiving order and regulation from other people because I don't see the life of it. Jesus said something very strange in John 6:63, that all the words I speak is, can you remember that? Is life and spirit. John 6:63, don't get this out of your mind. All what he speak spirit and life to you. He speak spirit and life. It means what? It will create something. And this is when he said, he go up to the mountain and he start open his mouth. Who's this person opening his mouth? The word of God himself, the creator. The word is create everything around us. Create me. He is the one who speak. That powerful, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, this is on his speak. It's not Carl, it's not Ahmed, it's not Moses, it's nobody. He himself is speaking. And once he speaks, he brings life. When he brings life, what will happen? It will change you. The area it has been covered with dust. The areas has been dead for a long time in your life. It have life one more time. Because he speak life. He doesn't speak death. He said his yoke is very easy. That's why he said. What Moses did when he was in the mountain. Moses said three things on the mountain. First one, and this is what I would love you to do at home, read Exodus 33 and 34. They are amazing. Exodus 33, Moses said something to the Lord. If I found favor in your eyes, show me your way to get to know you. Where does that question come from? This question comes from when he started experience God's presence. He said, that is not enough. I need more. This is why Jesus said, blessed who are hungry and thirsty in Matthew 5. Why? Because when you are in his presence on the mountain, yes, you don't have enough of what he said. You need more. You need to know him more. You need to know his ways more. You need to fall in love with him more. That's what will happen when you are on the mountain. If I found favor in your eyes, show me your way to get to know you more. It's one thing. Once you are in the presence, you are not having enough of what he gave you. You need always more. The Lord told him, my presence will go before you Amazing answer. But I said, great. But listen, I'm not going to move one inch without your presence. He understand. He recognized the power of his presence in his life. And here is the point. The point is, the more you have him, the more you spend time in his presence, the more you said, I want more. Third one, he said, show me your glory. Is it enough to give you grace and favor? Is it enough to walk with my presence, be with you? I will impress more. This time I need your glory. I need to be in the midst of it. But the good news, guys, is all this wrapped in Jesus. In the New Testament, is all this in him. This is what Paul said. That his glory will be over you. You are not just what God told Moses. I will just get a place in the mountain. I put you in and I'll put my hand on you. And when I go, you just can see my back. My glory. You cannot see my face. You cannot live. But in the New Testament is you have it all. You are not just seeing his back. You are not just taking a little bit of glimpse of his glory. You are have it all. And you are not, if you are not living on that glory and operate from that glory, we need to question ourselves. Right. I was sharing that with Ron a few days ago. So then the beginning of this year, just two weeks before, in December, I was praying one morning and I felt a word shift. And I tried to understand what that word is. Okay, press on with God. Press on with God a bit more. Pray a bit more to it. What is it, Lord? What you mean with it? And the Lord started sharing that with me. Shift meaning, you are not going to be who you are now, but you need to shift into my presence and my glory. Let's just explain that a little bit more because a little bit like what that means. Right. 2 weeks ago, Carl talking about the baptism of Jesus and when the Holy Spirit rests on him. Yes? And the whole entire ministry started. How many times he said, oh, wow. It was very, very good service. It was very, I felt the presence, no, not the presence of God. I felt the anointing on that presence, on that sermon today. Yeah, you felt the anointing, brilliant, well done. And after that, you get off this anointing, you done your business, and come back again, another little bit of anointing. And back again, just mucking around. And let's just take a little bit more. And so on and so on and so on. Therefore, you become on and off anointing business. But the shift doesn't need this on and off anointing business. The shift, it means I need to be full time, 100 minutes a day, 24 hours, whatever is, in his glory. To operate from this place. At work, I feel I cannot fit in. My dear brother and sister, I'll tell you a very good secret. You are not there to fit in. You are there to stand out. And they will come to you. You are not there to please anybody. You are there to stand out for him, to bring his glory with you. If you operate from the glory, in your work, you will see the change. If you are on and off anointing, it's not going anywhere. Because I enjoy Sunday. It was lovely worship, thank you very much. Great speaking, great. Let's go and see what's happening in the work out there. Get hit with this, get hit with that, and so on and so on and so on. And come back. How was your week? It was awful. What happened? Da, 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 da. All my peace just gone away. What about the Prince of Peace we are talking about? The wonderful counselor we were just shouting a minute ago on Sunday morning? Gone. Why? Because I'm not operating from the glory. And I'm telling that to me before anybody else. If I need to climb that mountain, I need to climb that mountain without my baggage, without my yoke, with his yoke. David says something else. Is test and see that he is good. Why he discovered that? Because he was in the presence. He was dancing and doing whatever in front of the ark. And his wife can tell him, you look silly today, don't you? How did you do this in front of your servant and people and you are the king of Israel. Yeah, but I didn't understand the presence. Test and see that he is good. He is very good. He understands that it's the same commandment Moses gave. 100 years after, David said something very strange, that your commandment is not heavy. I can follow this. Why? Because he fell in love with him again. And again, and again. He has a covenant. If you have a covenant, it means I have to renew my first love to him again. If I'm in this covenant, I will do it. Now, let's get into the sandwich. He opened his mouth. He is the Word. He is the Creator. He speak out. But what he said is very difficult to do. In Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. Very difficult to do. Talked about everything. Love your enemy. Adultery. Marriage. Divorce. This. That. Feel like, I don't know what to do here. Problem is, you are seen as a religion. Let's see it the other way around. If I am in his presence, your commandment is not heavy. If I test and see is he is good, I will be able to take care of my wife. If I test and see is he is good, I will love my brother and sister. If I'm in full in love with him, I will be able to do this. If you take it the other way around, it's a low regulation commandment. You are not going anywhere. You will stay in the darkness. But if his light shine upon you, it will operate the other way around. I will fall in love with him. Result of this, I am able to do so. You get it? It cannot work. Except this way. If I fall in love with his presence and his glory, I will be able to operate from this place. Work, family, home, anything you do. Because you are operating from his presence. You are not doing it by yourself. Paul said, in Christ Jesus, I can do Everything. He didn't experience that. He didn't. The Holy Spirit didn't just try this through Paul because of, yeah, it was a fancy piece of verse. Let's just put it in the Bible. No. I can't do everything in Christ Jesus. I can do everything in Christ Jesus. But how? I need to fall in love with him. I need to fall in love with his glory, with his presence. The invitation for you today is, if you want to climb the mountain, he said, the yoke will be broken because of the fatness of your neck. That's what Isaiah said. But if you translate it in a different thing, is because of the anointing. Because the Holy Spirit, if it's resting you and didn't go anywhere, there's not an off anointing, you'll be able to carry the right yoke in your shoulder. The invitation is, if you want to do this, climb to this mountain, take directly from him. That is your choice. Last bit of Matthew 7, he said that the crowd was in awe. Wow, he speaks with a different authority, not like the Pharisees, because he is the Word of God. He is the Creator. When he speaks, he will change things over your life, and your spirit will be alive because who he is. I just want you to stand up with me, and if the worship team go and lead us in the last song. And just bring that to the Lord. Said, I don't know how to do it because I don't have a recipe for it. I don't have a recipe for how to get in his presence. But I have one thing to tell you today. Where is your heart is, he will come and respond. I don't know how to do it or how he will do it. But I know one thing, that he is faithful and he knows your heart much better than anybody else. And if you just hand it to him today, he said, I am hungry. I'm hungry to your presence. I'm hungry to your glory. I am hungry to the way you want to lead me this year. I'm hungry to do the shift from operating under on and off anointing to totally be in your presence, to go with you wherever you want. This is what the Lord wants from you today. This is an invitation for you today to just come, talk to him during this song, and let's just worship him.